tell you what I got for Christmas from the three women in my life. From my daughter, I got Michelle Obama's biography. And I'm really looking forward to reading that, checking that out. That's going to be great. From my mother-in-law, I got a box of chocolates, bottle of port. And from my wife, I got a set of scales. I'm just coming to terms with that. Would you join me in prayer? Our Father God, we pray that you help us to understand this part of the Bible, that you might speak to each person here, to each person engaging with what's said here this morning, this great passage. And we pray that for a work of your Spirit in everyone's heart. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, you come to church Christmas Day. It's my job to teach the Bible here, to explain God's Word. And it's a pretty difficult exercise, actually, on Christmas Day, because there's always people here who are totally new to Christian things, totally new to Christian thinking, totally new to Christian understanding. And then there's a few people here for whom this is their 70th Christmas Day. And so just how do you do those two different spectrums of people who know lots and lots and not much? And I'll tell you how I'm approaching it today. I think that you think that at this point, in this meeting today, Christmas Day, I'm going to retell the story of 2,000 years ago. I think you think I'm going to tell you the story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus and Bethlehem and the visit by the angel and divine pregnancy, there's a census. I think you think I'm going to tell you the story about Joseph's got to get back to Bethlehem. There's no room at the inn, that they're in the stable out the back, the baby Jesus born in a manger, the shepherds, glory to God on high, big angel announcement today in the town of David, a saviour's been born, he's Christ the Lord. And I think that if you've been listening to Christmas stories either in this church or around the place or even in the last month at different things, you'll just kind of tune out because you think, I just know that. And so today I'm not going to do that. I'm going to take all of that as assumed knowledge. I'm going to work from the assumption that you're sophisticated and that you're up for a challenge and that you know the basic story, and I'm going to look at the why. I'm going to tackle it by looking at the very last chapter of the Bible, Revelation, and to open up chapter 12 of Revelation. And I'm assuming you're on less familiar ground. So you want to open up the passage, open up the handout sheet so you can see the Bible reading. And we're going to work through that. And the first thing about Revelation is that it is not kind of fact language. It is impressionistic. It's like you don't look at a Picasso picture for the detail, for the exact precision. You look at a Picasso picture for the vibe, for the feel, for the impression, and so that's the feel of what we're going to do as we look at this chapter. Revelation chapter 12, first verse, a great sign appeared in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet and a crown of 12 stars on her head. Who is she? Well, she's important. She is clothed with the sun. She stands on the moon. She has a crown of 12 stars. And the account goes on, it becomes clear that this woman is a vision of the church of God, the people of God, the Old Testament people of God, the New Covenant people of God. And verse 2, she was pregnant and cried out in labor and in agony as she was about to give birth. And I mean, Bible readers at this point, your heads will go back to Isaiah, and in Isaiah chapter 7, in verse 14, there's a prophecy of a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. And what we've got here is a great sign appearing in heaven. The sign is that a virgin will conceive and give birth to us. We've got it happening. A woman giving birth. And so who is the woman? Well, she is the church. She is the people of God. She's Mary. Yeah, she is the bride of Christ. And then there's another sign. And at the appearance of this sign, we've got this sign of a woman about to... Another sign. Look at verse 3. Another sign appeared in heaven. This was a great, fiery, red dragon. He's fearsome. He's deadly. He's intimidating. having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on its heads were 7 crowns. Its tail swept away 1/3 of the stars in heaven and hurled them to the earth. This is the devil. This is Satan. This is evil incarnate. And the woman is about to give birth. And with the first Christmas, the scene is set for the ultimate showdown between good and evil, between God and the devil, between God and evil. If the story of Christmas that you've been taught is about Santa and chimneys and elves and carrots, there's a much better story. If the story you've been told about is about the birth of Jesus, well, that is true. But there are cosmic issues at stake. The baby's about to be born, and the devil is out to conquer. The dragon, see there, verse 2-3? The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. What is being spoken of here in cosmic, picture, Picasso kind of language is that the moment Jesus is born, King Herod is about to launch a massacre of all the babies around Jerusalem, around Bethlehem. Every baby boy aged under 2 is going to be assassinated. That was the devil acting through Herod to devour the child. But that actually isn't the end of the devil's attack, in that right through the life of Jesus, the devil is out to attack him, and even, actually especially at the moment of Jesus' death. What happens? Well, here we go, verse 5. She gave birth to a son, a male who is going to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Okay, she's given birth to a ruler. Now, I mean, if you're an Old Testament Bible person, you'll think your head will be going to all sorts of Old Testament prophecy and prediction and imagery. I'm thinking of the one from Isaiah 9. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders. He'll be called Wonderful Counselor and Mighty God and Everlasting Father and Prince of Peace, and of the greatness of his government, and there'll be no end. He'll reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness and the zeal of the Lord Almighty. She will give birth to a son, a male, who is going to rule. And you look at verse 5, actually, she'll give birth to a son, a male, who's going to rule all the nations with an iron rod. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. That is a super telescoped description of what happens. Because she does give birth to a son. He grows up in Palestine. 30 years later, he starts his public ministry. The devil's attacks escalate, culminating in the brutal murder of Jesus, his crucifixion. But death can't hold him. He's risen from the dead and then ascends into heaven. And verse 5 encapsulates that. He's born and ascends. Highly abridged version. So where is Jesus now? Ascended to the throne in heaven, seated right next to the Father God. The woman, verse 6, fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God to be nourished there 1,260 days. And actually, that's the experience of the people of God, living not totally comfortable in this world. Remember, this is Picasso painting imagery. The people of God, protected by God, nourished by God, but kind of still a little uneasy in this world. But here's the big thing. Christmas, I mean, you don't get this in the media. Christmas in the media, it's just all about presents and fluff, but Christmas actually marks the start of a long prophesied, long predicted cosmic war, global war, spiritual war. See verse 7? Here it is. Then war broke out in heaven. It's war between good and evil. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. In our house, I walked into my wife and my youngest son, Abraham, And I said, I'm thinking of speaking at Christmas on this passage. And I read it out to him, to them. And Kathy said, oh, don't do that. Don't do that. People who are new will think you're crazy. And Abraham said, Abraham's 18. He said, oh, Dad, that passage is awesome. The teenage boys will love this. So, teenagers, you listening? War broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. This is bigger than anything that's happened in Star Wars. And it's real. It's true. Cosmically true. The dragon and his angels also fought, but he, devil, could not prevail. There was no place for them in heaven any longer. There's this, in this war, there's this culmination of this great rebellion led by the devil. The devil can't win, so the great dragon was thrown out. The ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, he was thrown to the earth and his angels with him. Now, that casting down, defeating of the devil, that's actually been predicted since the start of the Bible. I mean, Adam and Eve are there in the garden. And the devil has led Adam and Eve into the first sin, the first rebellion against God. And God says to the devil as he goes to punish him, Genesis 3:14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you've done this, cursed are you above all livestock and all wild animals. You'll crawl on your belly, you'll eat dust all the days of your life. And I'll put enmity between you and the woman, between your offspring and hers. He'll crush your head and you'll strike his heel. And that prediction of the devil being crushed, the serpent being crushed, that the devil's head would be crushed. And that's what happens, actually. And remember I said in verse 5 it was the telescoping of Jesus' life and birth, life, death, resurrection, ascension, all into one verse? Well, in the story of Jesus' life, in the gospel accounts, there's a moment in Luke 10. Jesus has just sent his disciples out to preach the gospel all around the place. And they come back and they start to tell the stories of what's happened. I think we've got the verse from Luke 10. We'll put it up on the screen. From Luke 10, verse 17, the 72 returned with joy and said, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. And he replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning. So the cosmic war description up in Revelation is saying the devil is cast down. Jesus, as he's walking the planet, he says, I saw Satan fall. What's happening? We're back into verse 9. You got the handout? You're following it with me? Verse 9. Teenagers, you're paying attention. Verse 9. The great dragon was thrown out. The ancient serpent who's called the devil and Satan, the one who deceives the whole world, he's thrown to earth and his angels with him. And that's the big picture. That's the big picture description, the Picasso imagery description. How does it play out on earth? What's it look like? Well, the first thing you've got to recognise, and I'm just going to speak to everybody here for a moment. You and I in this, we're not neutral bystanders. I mean, I said this is a great battle. But it's not like we're there kind of... I mean, sometimes there are battles that I don't care about the outcome. I mean... Queensland plays Western Australia in the Sheffield Shield. Who cares? I don't watch it. I don't care about it. I'm not interested in it. I'm completely detached. Do you know? And sorry, Jamie, some of those English soccer games... Sorry. You know, soccer, football, I don't care. But English Manchester versus Tottenham, I don't... I'm with you on that. Yeah. But in this, we're not neutral bystanders. We are deeply involved. See, from the moment of Adam and Eve, we've been compromised. What do I mean by that? Tell you this story. I mentioned this a few weeks ago here, but Hannah Gatsby, we've got a picture of Hannah. She gave a great, fascinating speech a couple of weeks ago at the Hollywood Reporters Women in Entertainment. And... I'm not a woman in Hollywood, so I wasn't invited, but I watched it on YouTube, and it was an amazing speech. She spoke to all these women from Hollywood's entertainment industry about good men and bad men. And Gatsby's message was, she said, you've got to stop thinking as if it's a Star Wars universe, as if we live in a Star Wars film, where there's goodies dressed in white and baddies dressed in black. And she said, the idea that there are good men and bad men implies that there's a line between the good men on one side and the bad men on the other side. And nobody sees themselves on the bad men's side of the line, which means nobody accepts responsibility for being bad. And she says, what men keep doing is they keep redrawing where the line is between good men and bad men, so that actually I'm always in the good men and my friends, we're always in the good men. But Hannah Gadsby's point was, in the end, there are no good men. None of us are white, she said. None of us, all of us are black. And actually, it's actually, we need to admit, every man has had a creepy thought. Every man has done a wrong thing. In this Me Too era, we need to admit it, don't we, gentlemen? None of us have got it consistently right. It's hard to admit, but it's true. And in the end, Hannah Gadsby, she was honest in this presentation. She turned it around. At first she was gunning for men, and all the women in Hollywood entertainment were kind of right with her, nodding as she was critiquing the men. But then she said, there are no good white people. And then she said, there are no good straight people. And there are no good women either. And I would say to you, if we are honest with ourselves, we will each admit that there are things that we've done, things I've done, things you've done, thoughts I've had, thoughts you've had. There are parts of me that even I don't like. All of us are compromised. All of us are evil. All of us are under the... We're not sitting detached here as this cosmic fight goes on. There are no good people. And Jesus is born. Jesus is born at Christmas, born of a woman, born of a virgin. And his mission, God's mission for him, is war against the devil, war against the dragon, war against Satan. It's cosmic fight. We need him to win. And because if he wins, if he succeeds, then good triumphs over evil. God triumphs over evil. Satan is cast down. The devil is defeated. Wrong is dealt with. It's tragic, isn't it? That in our world, the impression is given that Christmas is about me giving presents to you and you giving scales to me. Whereas Christmas is actually about setting the scene for cosmic war and God's victory in cosmic war. How does it happen? What does it look like? Look at sentence 10. Then I heard a loud voice in heaven say, the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have now come, because the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them has been thrown down. The devil's lost. How? They conquered him by the blood of the Lamb. Blood of the Lamb? Again, it's imagery. Picasso imagery. And I don't expect everybody to get this the first time I say it. And if you've not heard this before, well, actually, that's why you should do the Introducing God course in January. But how does this blood of the Lamb work here? Well, it's the recognition that what we've done is wrong. The creepy thought you've had, the wrong things you've done, the wrong things I've done, the creepy thoughts I've had. That you did, that I did, that we did. And Jesus' blood is shed for me. He died in my place. He took the punishment for you. I was wrong, you were wrong, we were wrong, and he paid the price for us, that we might be forgiven. I am a creep. I am a bad guy. I am in the wrong, and he died for me. In the birth of Jesus, in the event of Christmas, in the death of Jesus, in the resurrection of Jesus, in the ascension of Jesus, in the Christ event, the dragon is defeated, the devil is defeated. Therefore, 12, rejoice, you heavens, and you who dwell in them. What's happening now? What does life look like today? Well, 13, when the dragon saw that he'd been thrown down to earth, he persecuted the woman who'd given birth to the male child. We are in the period now, the time we live in Australia today, it's the period between the ascension of Christ, the return of Christ up to sit on the throne of God in heaven, and the return of Christ. And what's happening now is the devil's been thrown down to earth and he's been delivered this fatal blow and he's thrashing around in pain. Now, we've got cockroach problems in our house. And I'm getting some nods. What happens when you spray a cockroach with Mortine is the cockroach just goes really kind of energy. Have others noticed this, or is this just me who notices this? Here am I trying to do my cockroach impression. You were feeling nervous about getting up. I'm doing a cockroach impression. And so this cockroach spasms around. Just don't knock the coffee cup off, Dominic. And they have this big burst of energy and then die after they've been shot with Mortine. Or a lawnmower, you're mowing the lawn. Now, this won't work for those of us who live in the inner west because none of us have lawns, but when you were growing up and you used to have a lawn at home and you used to mow the lawn and the lawnmower would be running out of petrol. Remember that last spurt of energy at the end just before the lawnmower died? Well, the devil's thrashing around, but he's lost his opportunity to have the world worship him. And in anger, he's last bursts of energy lashing out against the people of God. But he's dead. He's dying. He's defeated. It's over. That's what's happened. That's how the devil fits in the plot at the moment. And so what's the response to be? Well, verse 17. Keep the commands of God. Hold firmly to the testimony of Jesus. That's the application. So I say to you today, this Christmas day, I mean, and particularly actually if you're new to thinking about these things, and I recognise you probably did come along expecting me to talk about mangers, and you probably did come along expecting me to talk about hay, Bethlehem, wise men, that kind of thing. And all of that is true and good, but I thought I'd give you the why. Now, having heard the why, my hope is that you won't go back to the fantasy land of Santa Claus and carrots and reindeer, but you'll actually get serious, that you'll think about this like an adult, that you'll investigate like an adult. And my recommendation is, actually, I'm going to ask everyone this morning, can everyone do this with me, just so that nobody feels self-conscious? Can you just take out our card, our village church card? It's on the seat there. And you see the bottom left, it's got a place for name and email and phone, but the bottom left it says, I'd like to find out more about Jesus. I'll ask the usher people, can you get cards to the people in the breakout space so that everybody's got a card? I just want everyone to have a card this morning. I'd like to find out more about Jesus. I'd like to do the Introducing God course, week 3 in January. That's when it starts. And we'll invite you along. And that's how to get serious about taking this further. Of course, I'll just put it out there that in January, we're trying to answer Annandale's questions. And so on our website, we've been surveying Annandale with a whole series of questions about God. And in January, our 4 weeks in January, we're We're taking those questions, the questions that people have responded. I want to know the answer about this. I want to know the answer about that. And we're going to be answering those four questions the 4 weeks of January. And so, but the Introducing God course is the best place to make your adult investigation on what it is to have a personal relationship with God. Now, we're going to ask you to fill those in, to let us know. To let us know any comment, any feedback, any interaction. Actually, you could just do that now if you wanted to. I'll do mine as well. Just grab a pen. Dominic. Steele. Question, comment. I thought Dominic's talk was... Just fill something in there. But what about, and I just want to raise this as a possibility, because I know this has been the case at various things we've run. There'll be somebody here who said, yeah, Dominic, that's good. I'd like to do the course. I'm going to do the course, actually. Or maybe even I did the course. But there are things I'd like to fix with God, and I want to fix them today, because I know I've been in the wrong. And I know that blood of Jesus was for me, but I've not put it right. And there's really nothing stopping me from making a decision, perhaps except I'm stubborn. But I want to fix it. I want to put it right. I do want to make a change. Now, if that is you, you can see on this bottom sheet on the right-hand side, we've printed a prayer. Have a look and see if this prayer is your prayer. I'll read it out and you can make a decision. Father God, it's acknowledging God as the Father. I admit I've done the wrong thing living against you and hurting others. I ask for your forgiveness. Essentially saying, I've been creepy. I'm part of the problem. Thanks that Jesus was born at Christmas and that he died to pay for my wrong. Thanks that he defeated the devil. Thanks that you can forgive me because of his death in my place. Help me now to live honouring Jesus. Now I'm just going to put it out there that that might be where you are this Christmas day. And I'm going to pray that prayer and invite you to pray it with me. I'm just going to pray each sentence once, one at a time, and I'll leave a sentence after every, I'll leave a moment after every sentence. You might just grab the idea and in your own heart say it to God. The rest of us, if you'd like to pray with me here, well, let's bow our head. Don't feel under any pressure, but if you'd like to pray with me, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, and speak to God in prayer. Father God, I admit I've done the wrong thing living against you and hurting others. I ask for your forgiveness. Thanks that Jesus was born at Christmas and that he died to pay for my wrong. Thanks that you can forgive me because of his death in my place. Help me now to live honouring Jesus. Amen. Hey, can I just say that if you prayed that prayer with me and you know that whatever else was going on in anyone else's heart this morning, you were making a sincere statement to God. God has heard you. And everything changes from now on for you. You were on the wrong side of the battle, and your captain was losing and had lost. Now you are on God's side, forgiven, accepted, loved. That's awesome. That's amazing. That's fantastic. That's miraculous. And we as a church want nothing more but to help you in this new birth, new discovery, new step with God. And you'll need to tell us, how would you do that? Just on that same card, on the bottom left, you see that there's a blank box there with nothing written beside it? Just tick that box, all right? I prayed with you, Dominic, but that's the box to let us know that you've made this step this morning. And our team will be in touch and talk to you about how we can encourage you.